Father, once more, we just come here as a family. And first of all, we want to thank you for the evidence of your life within us, the evidence of you, the God of hope within us, the evidence of your joy, the evidence of your peace, the evidence of the quality of your life that we can experience because you have given us the Holy Spirit. How great is your love as you have poured it over our lives that we will be called children of God. Thank you for the joy of even now while we are still living on this earth to be able to know you, to experience how real you are and to really connect and to participate with your divine nature because of your Holy Spirit within us. So thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you through you, Lord Jesus, because it's been you that brought us to the Father. You've introduced us to the Father. You came and gave your life so that we can once again be reconciled and come into the family and be children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we spend time this morning, Father, it is something that is so profound that you want, that you are busy doing in our lives. We want to thank you as we see the truth of your Son Jesus when he said he will build his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So we thank you for your kingdom that we are in, that's unshakable. We want to thank you for the ministry of the body of Christ, of your family, as we learn today more about participating in one another's grace that you have given to each and every one of us, and the joy of oneness, the joy of just sharing and being blessed by one another, because it's your grace upon us and it's your Holy Spirit within each and every one of us that we can drink of that living waters. So thank you for today. But also, Lord Jesus, the joy when you said to the Father that the sacrifice of animals you did not desire, but you came and you gave yourself and you said, here's a body that you prepared for me and I've come to do your will. That what pleased you when your Son came and gave his life so that we can be saved. You also speak about this amazing truth where when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, this is our true spiritual worship that brings you great delight and pleases you. And so I want to thank you for the incredible army of God that has surrendered and has offered their bodies for you and to do your will. That brings you great joy. That pleases you, Father. That's such an aroma, such an incredible, pleasant aroma that's within you, and the joy and the celebration as we just have surrendered and said yes to you. So thank you as you encourage us by your Holy Spirit, as you empower us, as by the power of your Holy Spirit, there's such an increase of the joy that overflows, the hope that overflows, and the abundance of hope. And we want to thank you as you strengthen us. And this we thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh. Today, we're carrying on with the theme of the army of God, of walking in the light. And during the time of communion this morning, we're going to spend time there of praying and really getting the heart of our Father when it comes to the oneness that his Son prayed for. And so today is more about the oneness and our participation in saying yes to that oneness, yielding to the Holy Spirit and asking the Father for the harvest, the laborers, the workers that's prepared to just say yes to Jesus. And here we are, Lord. And so we want to pray and spend that time this morning a little bit later. But just to lay the foundation so that you've got some understanding of the theme this morning and what the Father is sharing with us and what our Lord Jesus is sharing, found it there in Philippians chapter 2, first of all, where the body of Christ is really behind Paul's ministry. And this is the family, the family of God in Philippia, and they are really behind Paul. And there's a tremendous sense of unity and oneness that they are experiencing. And so Paul writes to them, and he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and so he's touching with the source, he's touching with where we get encouragement from, where we get comfort from, where we get koinonia, fellowship from, where we get tenderness and compassion from. And all of this is coming from our Lord Jesus Christ in abiding in him. You know, when Jesus speaks, abide in him, you will bear much fruit. And so this is all the fruit, this encouragement, this comfort, this love, this tenderness, this compassion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is all the fruit of abiding in Jesus. And so he's the source of it all. And that's why even with hope, Paul writes there, the God of hope, because that's who he is, not the God of regret. He's a God of hope. And as we participate by the Holy Spirit in union and just that fellowship and walking with God, we really experience the hope of God by the Holy Spirit being ministered to us, into our emotions, into our very being, that that enables us to know what our living hope's all about. And so he then goes on and he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then he goes over there, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. And then he continues, and he gives such an insight over there concerning Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No, he didn't do that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here we have something over here, and just here in verse 1 over there, if you have any common sharing, that's the fellowship, that's the koinonia that we're wanting to just touch this morning, and that's what we're going to be praying about, is this common sharing, this oneness with the Holy Spirit, this oneness with the Father, Son, but also that, because it overflows, the oneness within us as well, and a better understanding of that, the part that he wants us to understand today, we want to just press in and receive. And that Jesus prays that. You remember there in John chapter 17, and he's praying and he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now, that's a very deep concept and concerning us as the family of God. Because remember, as children of God, we are in Christ and the Father, they are in us. And so now he's speaking about something about us as believers, that we may live in that reality, because all of us who are believers in Christ Jesus, we are in the Father and the Son, and they are in us. And there's this koinonia, that we're speaking about. This is what Jesus is speaking about. So it's not only that fellowship that Jesus and the Father has, but it's also because we are in them and they are in us, that same fellowship, but it's not individuals. So that fellowship, that koinonia, and we'll speak about koinonia now, that's the desire, that's the prayer that Jesus is praying for us. And this is what's happening, that's taking place all around us. And he says over there that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So this oneness is such a expression of the glory of God. It is such the evidence, it is the revelation of God's glory, of God's manifest presence, of who God is, of his nature, his character, and that. And so there's something profound that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to you and I and give us understanding of this oneness and this glory that Jesus has given to you and I who believe, this glory of oneness, this glory of the Father and the Son dwelling within us. But we all, as the whole family worldwide, we are in him. And it's that oneness that we're looking at, that glory that we're looking at. Okay. And so I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So there's a facet of God's glory that he's wanting to make known through us as believers in Christ Jesus, that has yielded to him. And it's always good to go back to the journey. And this is why the Holy Spirit really emphasized the fact that in Romans chapter 6, that in the death of Jesus, we died with him. And in his resurrection, we were raised with him. So to identify to the fact that in Christ, we have died to the old, that old power of sin, and the separation from God. We're no longer dwelling in the darkness, we're in the light. And all of this plays a big role to begin to understand now that we are free of that selfish ambition. We are free of self-centeredness, that power of self-centeredness, that power is all about me, etc., is no longer there. Now there's a oneness that we've entered into. And now we participate in this oneness, all of us as the family of God participating. And this is the army that's rising up. This is his glorious army of light, this army of our Lord Jesus Christ that is just really beginning to advance, and this incredible life in Christ Jesus, appropriating the fact that we've died with him and now we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit in what Christ has done for us and participating in his death and resurrection. This is the army. And that's why, as I shared, it's important to reflect back of the journey, because Jesus knows. He knows what he's doing. He knows where we are. He knows our understanding. He knows everything. And he knows the steps. He knows the journey that he needs to teach us in order for us to grow and to step into the fullness of his glory that he has destined for our lives and his purpose. Yeah, for the towns that we live in, the communities that we live in, and so forth, and for our nation. Okay, and so another important truth over here that Jesus deals with, and here again in Matthew chapter 12, here the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are accusing Jesus that he's been powered by Satan to be able to do what he's doing. And so that's why he goes on about the blasphemy later on there, because they are now saying this is the work of Jesus is the work of Satan. And Jesus says that's a blasphemy against the Spirit. And so here we see how Jesus is busy answering because he knows their thoughts. He knows what they are thinking. And he says to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if by the Holy Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then he goes on, and again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possession unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so here we see a fundamental truth. Jesus is praying and he says, Father, let them be one. And he prays in early on in John 17, he says, Father, don't take them out this world, but protect them from the evil one. He continues, and so we see here that there's something about this oneness, there's something about this being one with Jesus that is very, very powerful in the context of this army of God, in the context of us as believers walking, living in this earth. Jesus has asked that the Father will protect us from the evil one, and so that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so here we see again that one of the main schemes of the enemy is to try and cause the body of Christ to be divided. Because he knows within his own reality that if the kingdom, if the household is divided, if a city is divided, then it comes to ruin. And we've got history. We look at all political parties, they come to an end because of internal division. We look at, you just go on and on in history, backs up this teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, and here's the big but, because you and I are in a kingdom of God. And Jesus said something very profound to Simon Peter, and he said to Simon Peter, because the Father had given Simon the revelation of who Jesus was, and Simon knew that Jesus is not just a human being, that's just a historical figure. He is the Son of God. This is the revelation that the Father gives. Okay, this is the reality of the Holy Spirit imparting a truth that human comprehension cannot grasp and understand. And he says over there, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock is the revelation that the Father has given concerning who Christ is. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So here we see Jesus making a tremendous statement, because the enemy trying to divide the ecclesia, the body of Christ. But Jesus says, I will build my church. And again, just we've shared this many times, that word ecclesia is the called out ones. And it was in that time of Jesus's him sharing this over there, it was part of the Romans' political system, where citizens were called out from their normal activity. They were called out to look at the city, to make policy and to govern. Okay? And it's the same reality. You and I have been called out of the dominion of darkness. We are in a kingdom of light. We are in the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. We're in his kingdom. So we've been called out of darkness. And now you and I, as we now are in the army of God, he has given us the mandate, he's given us the authority to be able to walk and to use the weapons of that he's given to you and I to advance the kingdom of God. Okay. And so because our Lord Jesus is building, this is what you and I are experiencing. So no matter what takes place, you and I are finding over there that in all this chaos and all this division, the latest division now is in the body of Christ. Have you been vaccinated or not? You know, it's just trying to cause division amongst believers. Listen, guys, we are in God. We're in Christ. There's a oneness. And so what does koinonia mean? How do we connect to this oneness in a greater level now? Okay, and that's what our Lord wants us to help us to understand over there. And so Jesus is building. The gates of Hades, the gates of darkness, that which is separated from the light that is outside of Christ Jesus, will not overcome what our Lord Jesus is building. You and I are in his kingdom. He is building us. He's doing a work within us that we will live in that reality of the glory that he has given to us, that we may be one as the Father and Son are one. That's the glory. That's the reality. That's what the Holy Spirit is dealing with us right now. And this is why this army is rising up, this army of oneness, this army that's united in both spirit, heart, mind. There's such a oneness taking place over there that man, it cannot be destroyed because we're not divided. We're in the kingdom of God, and He's a God of unity, and he's busy building, as he said there to Peter. So that's where we are now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And I want to share an aspect of this oneness that is developing tremendously within the body of Christ. Paul is praying, and he's celebrating in the presence of God. He's thanking God for the family, for the believers here in Philippi. And so he begins in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because, and then he gives the reason why he can pray for the family, for the body of Christ in this area, in this city, with tremendous joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And so Paul begins to really begin to celebrate the reality of a partnership that the believers have with him in this year. Now, this is that word koinonia that we're speaking about. Because of your koinonia, that's the Greek word over here. In the gospel, very important, from the first day until now. Because here, this word koinonia really starts to speak about the incredible truth of fellowship, of oneness, of being like-minded, having the same love, having the same spirit, having the same mind. And here we see here that these believers were so one with Paul in sharing the gospel. They were so one with Jesus, as Paul was one with Jesus in fulfilling what God had told him to do. These believers were united with that. They were one with him in that. They were focused in that there. And so in everything that they are busy doing, they were involved in totally with one heart, one mind, sharing with the mandate of Paul, sharing with the mission of Jesus Christ in advancing the gospel of God to all the Gentiles. And that was the incredible oneness. They were united with the heartbeat of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will not perish. They were united with the commission that Jesus gave the apostles to go into all the world to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them. And so they were united to the teaching of Jesus, and the obedience of the apostles, and the family of God was so one with that over there. So they were sharing with him, and the sharing was they were praying for him, they were meeting his needs, they were really doing whatever they could do to encourage, so that they were involved, they were partnering with him. There was that oneness with him in what God had called him to do. Very, very important in understanding koinonia, because koinonia is not just a oneness in having a, you know, let's go and have a song festival, or let's just go and have that. The koinonia is rooted in the heart, that oneness, that glory. The Father and the Son are one. That's where the koinonia is rooted, in the desires of Jesus, and the Spirit enables us to have the desires of God. It's connected to the heart of God. It's connected to his love for humanity. It's connected to what his Son has already done, and for us to share the gospel. It's connected to expressing the incredible love of Jesus Christ to humanity. It's connected to that. That's the koinonia that we're speaking about. That's the oneness. So we get away from the superficial sort of let's have a party oneness. This is the army of God that is connected with the very heartbeat of Heavenly Father in wanting and desiring all to be saved, and moving with the King Jesus Christ, and walking with him there in the great harvest and gathering in the harvest. This is the oneness that we're looking at over there, and that's why it's different. It's if anyone is united with Christ, see, that's the reality of that union with Jesus Christ. And so, because of your partnership, because of your fellowship, because of your contribution, the way you are helping, the way you're sharing, this common heart, because that's part of the word koinonia, is this common fellowship. This common fellowship that you and I are one. We are one in mind, one in heart in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I praise God and I'm full of joy as I thank God for you. That's the heartbeat of this letter that Paul is busy writing over there. And then in verse 7, he says over there, "It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." An example of this partnership we see there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the early church, where they were so one. In Acts chapter 4, another example of that there, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They were listening to what the apostles were teaching. They were united with that. They were obedient to that. And so there was a tremendous evidence of this oneness, this glory that the Father and Jesus has given to the believers of this oneness. That's the evidence. And so what was taking place? There was tremendous power being released. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And so there's grace, and what took place there, the people were added to the family of God. Because what did Jesus say? In this oneness, the world will know that you have sent me. And so in this oneness, this koinonia connected to the heart, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that desire, that passion, that focus, that heart after God, that yieldedness to God, the result of that there is that the grace of God is powerfully at work. The result of that is that God adds to the family of God. The result of that there, that the power of the Holy Spirit is working tremendously throughout the body of Christ. See, this is the army. This is the army of God that Jesus is now, we see this rising up. This is the army that has a heart after him. It's not involved in trying to argue, not involved in trying to prove a point. It's really walking with Jesus, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, and now beginning to understand that in this oneness there is the glory of God that's being manifested, and that glory has a power to it. That glory has a calling to bring people into the kingdom of God. Okay, that's why the enemy wants to divide the body of Christ, but Jesus says, I will build. Christ has overcome the enemy, and he's given us the authority, he's given us the keys of truth to be able to understand how to not allow the enemy access into our lives, to try and cause us to think badly towards people, to try to become offended, to hold grudges, etc., etc., but to walk in the step of the Holy Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence, and as part of the revelation of the incredible oneness, the glory of God that he has given to us as believers. And so he goes and he shares over there, and God's grace was so powerful. Oh, sorry, let's go back to Philippians 1. And I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in this incredible grace with me. Now, this word share, again, it's the same. It's refers to being a co-partner, fellow partners. So Paul is saying something profound. He says, guys, as you have been partnering with me, as you are one with what God has called me to do, you are actually sharing in the incredible fruit of my ministry. You are participating in that grace, that calling upon my life. You are sharing in the benefits of all the Gentiles that are being saved. You are sharing in this incredible ministry that God has given me in touching so many people. You are sharing in the reality that even after I've died and people are reading the words that the Holy Spirit gave me to write, the generations to come that are going to be born again, you are sharing in this incredible grace that God has upon my life. Very incredible truth that we as believers are able to share in one another's God-given grace. Because now Paul was sharing in their grace because they had different gifts. Paul had the gift of apostleship. He had that mandate. But the rest of the family over there, they had gifts. They had gifts of generosity, of encouragement. They had gifts of teaching. They had gifts of really being able to administer, and many, many gifts there, as we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, all the different gifts. Here we see there that Paul was sharing in their grace, and he was being encouraged because he was participating in their grace, because Paul couldn't do the whole deal. He could only do what God told him to do. But they too now were doing what God had told them to do. And so there comes an incredible sharing in one another's grace. The word spiritual gifts is spiritual grace. And that's why the gifts play such an important role in the body of Christ. Because as you and I just participate, as you and I are united with the Holy Spirit and be free from ourselves, as you and I love the body of Christ, as we love Jesus Christ, what takes place over there, as we practice, as we walk in our spiritual gifting and our graces that the Spirit has given us, the spiritual graces, what's taking place as we share, as we practice, as we live in the reality of those gifts, each and every one of us partake in one another's incredible grace. And Jesus says, this is how it's built. This is how the body of Christ is edified, it's built up. And so Jesus, in his incredible wisdom, he goes and he knows how to place the family of God together. He knows how to, so that there's honor amongst everybody there. There's not one gift that's more, wow, you know, and one is less than that. No, he has made it the way there so that the whole body has honor for one another. And as we share, because every gift is important, as we participate in the gifting over there, we partake. A lot of folk sort of sit back in the end, and this often this is what is was shared with me, where they feel that they're not doing anything. They feel that they must be more. They feel, oh, what they're doing is just, you know, it's not. No. I can speak from my side, okay? Every one of you that's involved in the grace upon my life, you share in the rewards, you share in the benefits, you share in the fruit of God's grace upon my life. Whether you're praying, if you are financially supporting, whether you are encouraging, whether you are just helping in any way, making facilities available, whether you are whatever it may be, you are sharing. So the fruit of my labor is credited to you. You receive, you partake in that. You receive the incredible rewards, if you want to call it, and the benefits of that. Likewise with me, as you practice and you are doing your parts, I share in your incredible grace. And so the fruit of your grace, I share in that as well now. And I receive the benefits of that. We won. You see, this is how the body operates. And that's why when we are like-minded, when we have the heart after God, there's no jealousy. That's why Paul goes after in Romans chapter 12, straight away at the end, he said, now I'll show you a far better way, the way of love. Because with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love within us, now the gifts operate with that love foundation. And it's all about how our Lord Jesus is building his church, how our Lord is encouraging, how our Lord is involved in really building up the family of God so that they can run the race and not grow weary, that they can complete the task that our Lord has given to each and every one of us. And that's the reality of that. If the gifts are there without the love, it becomes full of jealousy, competition. There comes the reality of outperforming one another. There comes the reality of looking down upon one another's gifting. But when love is there and their foundation is being established and rooted in the love of Christ, the height, the length, the width, the depth of Jesus Christ, and we are rooted and established in this love of Jesus, the gifts are powerful because it's the grace of God. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that grace, we see over there in Acts chapter 4, that this grace of God was working powerfully amongst the believers. This is the koinonia. This is the fellowship. This is us as the army of God, the army of light, living in the light. John writes something very important in understanding this. He says over there, and this is why understanding the fellowship, because this is the koinonia. He says over there, the life appeared, we have seen it and testify it. This is in 1 John chapter 1. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. This incredible oneness. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the source of koinonia. Okay? And he's writing this so that these believers may be able to really enter into the reality. So when you look at the letter of John, this epistle of John, 1 John, you will see that it's all about the body of Christ beginning to learn what it means to be one with the Father and with the Son. And the whole message, the whole letter deals with that revelation of this incredible fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And what the apostles had, that John and them had, that is saying, guys, let's have this fellowship together. And that's why he goes on and he said, this is a message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship, this koinonia with him, this oneness with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, this oneness is the glory that the Father gave to Jesus, that they may be one. Jesus has given us that glory of oneness, that we may be one, one with him and one with one another. Because the basis of this fellowship is us being in Christ Jesus by being born again by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, and because we are now walking and we are learning that the old human nature, that power of sin is not our reality. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're learning to live in that truth. The fellowship amongst one another is increasing. The light is shining. This army of Jesus, wherever we go, because we are united, because we are one with him, it brings life and not destruction. Where we go, life comes. Life is established. If the army is not walking in this koinonia, this oneness with him, you take out love, you can't walk in this oneness because it's self-centeredness. So if the army is still focusing on the flesh and yielding to the flesh, and that they, wherever they go, there's jealousy, there's church fights, there's all kinds of friction, there's all kinds of stuff taking place over there. Our Lord is building, and so he's dealing with all of us. And is helping us now to really begin to understand what it means to have fellowship with him, what this koinonia is all about, what this common sharing, participating in his divine nature is all about. And then he goes on over there. This is the joy. As you and I, as we walk in the light, there's a reality of the blood of Christ that continues. So when we do sin, when we do mess up, it's not, oh, you know, it's I'm out of the fellowship. No, no, no. We find there because we're walking in the light, because we have taken that what Christ has done is our reality. The incredible eternal blood of Jesus, the eternal blood of Jesus continues to speak on our behalf. And so it purifies us from all sin, and we find the journey of sanctification as we walk in the incredible light. So I want to leave it over there. Because I wanted us to just go into a time of prayer, as we have the communion this morning. And I really encourage you to pray and ask the Father, and to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. Pray for one another. Start to step into your spiritual giftings and to really serve one another, minister towards one another. Really begin to become active, because we have a commission. Our Lord has one purpose in mind, and that is to bring all people, and what he has already done, so that all people can come to the Father and experience and have eternal life. This is the heart of our Lord Jesus. That's why he gave us a great commission. And so maybe this morning as well, in your own heart, in your own thoughts, I have the Holy Spirit. Maybe today is just, Lord, I've been a bit sort of out of line in a sense. I've been so focused on my own life. And now, thank you. One of the, you know, during some time back, just with a group of folk, one of the things that was such a breakthrough in one of the guys is that all he did was always pray about himself and his family. That was it. And he says, but now it's such a joy that he can actually pray for the people in the community of Metsimaholo. You know, it's not just about him anymore. You see, that's koinonia, that's fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that's fellowship with Jesus, that's fellowship with the Father. That's what koinonia is all about. And so Why don't you pray for this, for the people in your town, the families, and it's also the oneness in the families. It's also the oneness in the communities, oneness in the body of Christ. And so let's pray what the Holy Spirit has shared as we have communion this morning. Amen. Amen. Yeah.